We pray. O Lord, open up the Holy Scriptures for us, that we may truly understand the blessings which you have bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ. Amen. In the continuing consideration of the word hope, it's interesting to note that the word hope and the word pope only have one letter's difference. But just as heaven and hell both start with the word H and are total opposites of each other, so the words hope and pope are diametrically opposed to each other. This is a difference which was personally felt by Martin Luther. In vain, Luther hoped to find a reason for hope in his own good works, and that's what the papacy was teaching him, or in some kind of self-inflicted punishment for his sins. And he did punish himself, literally. But he found no hope. As he says in his hymn, "Yea, deep and deeper still I fell, life had become a living hell, so firmly sin possessed me." But then one day, as a professor, while he was studying the book of Romans, he read, "For therein," that is in the gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And Luther writes, "It seemed to me as if I had been born again, and as if I had entered paradise through newly opened doors. All at once, the Bible began to speak in quite a different way to me. The very phrase, 'the righteousness of God,' which I had hated before, was the one that now I loved the best of all. That is how that passage of Paul's became for me the gateway to paradise." Surely, surely there is no one in this whole world who would not want this kind of joy and this kind of hope. Well, not so much. Luther found out, as he started to proclaim this newfound hope and joy that he had, that there are many who were opposed to it. There were many enemies of the gospel in the world, and foremost among them was the Pope, the one who, in order to increase his own power and riches, had robbed the people of hope. The Pope led the charge against Luther, attempting to destroy him and what he had started. Now, wait a minute. I said that wrong. Attempting to destroy what God had started. However, this did not deter Luther. The gospel had become a fire burning within his heart. He could not keep it inside, no matter what the cost. Luther knew that the cost would be great if he quenched that fire. The cost would be millions of souls burning in hell, souls still living without the knowledge of Christ, without hope. And then, of course, there would be his own soul. It was for Luther as it was for Peter, who writes in his first epistle, "Who is he that will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set him apart in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. and who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Are you ready to give a defense to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you, and to do it with meekness and fear? Meekness refers to that willingness to suffer without complaint and without retaliation. Fear refers to the attitude of supreme respect for God, a respect that would cause a man to say, "Whatever you say, O Lord, that's what I will do, no matter what, even if I have to die for it." Late in the afternoon of April 18, 1521, in the city of Worms, Luther stood before Charles V, the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, the very man who had declared him, Luther, to be outside of the protection of the law. So he is under the threat of death. And at that point, he's asked to take back everything, to recant everything that he had taught. He was granted one night to think about it, and I would probably guess that he didn't sleep much that night. Upon returning to the judgment hall, he declared, "Unless I am convinced by Scripture and by plain reason, and not by popes and councils who have so often contradicted themselves, my conscience is captive to the Word of God. To go against conscience is neither right nor safe. I cannot and I will not recant. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me." The junior class is learning about people who, in the face of death, took their stand at the side of Christ and gave a defense of the hope that was in them. And they died, burned at the stake, beheaded, tortured to death, killed by wild animals in the arena, and who knows what else. Are you ready to give a defense of the hope that is in you? Well, if the hope is in you, then I reckon that you are ready. For in you is the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, Jesus who paid the price for your sins. He is your hope, and he stands at your side, holding your hand, and he won't let go, not even in the face of death. For at the moment of death, he will whisk you away from this world and into glory, that glory which is your steadfast hope. Here at ILC, you're getting ready, filling yourself with knowledge so that you can give an intelligent defense of the hope that is in you, so that you can declare with meekness and fear, "Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me." Let us pray. Help us, O Lord, to stand firm in the face of persecution and to always be ready to give a defense of the hope that is in us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Hymn 261, All Standards. Lord.